today on the Feast of All Souls Day, when the church solemnly commemorates and prays for all the souls in purgatory, it's appropriate that we end our series of reflections on the works of mercy with the final spiritual work, which is to pray for the living and also for the dead. This is a great work which we can do anytime, anywhere, by ourselves or with others as well. So let's first talk about praying for others in general, and then specifically about praying for the dead. We read in 1 Thessalonians in the New Testament that St. Paul tells us to pray constantly. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. A few verses later, he says, "Brethren, pray for us." 1 Thessalonians 5:25. We also know that our goal and our purpose in life is to become perfectly conformed to Christ. St. Paul says that in Romans 8:29, and to be imitators of Christ. St. Paul again, 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." If we're called to be conformed to Christ and to imitate him, one way that we imitate him is very simply by praying for others. If we go back again to the letter to the Romans, the apostle says that Jesus, quote, "died, was raised from the dead, is at the right hand of God, and there he intercedes for us." Romans 8:34. St. Paul doesn't say that Jesus interceded for us. He says that he intercedes for us, something he's doing right now as we speak. Hebrews 7:25, we hear that Christ lives to make intercession for us. So when you ask someone to pray for you, what are you doing? You're asking them to do for you what Christ is doing for you right now, to appeal to God the Father on your behalf. The word intercede in the Greek New Testament is entunkano. It means to know, to appeal, to obtain an audience, to petition, to entreat. So praying for the living and the dead means that I raise my mind and my heart to God, which is what prayer is, right? The raising of our mind and our heart to God. And I appeal to him on behalf of others, that God would have mercy on them, that he would give them the grace of conversion, that he would give them the strength and knowledge and wisdom to carry out his will, that he would protect them, really all of those things. I do all those things when I intercede for others. So first of all, when we pray for others, we need to pray for their spiritual well-being, that they would be and live and remain in God's grace. Secondly, we can and we should pray for their physical well-being too. But just as spirit is greater than matter, so too, someone's spiritual condition is a lot more important than their physical condition. We need to remember that. Take that to heart, too. You know, Our Lady in her apparitions often, or rather constantly, tells her children to pray for sinners. You know, not just that they'll be safe in their travels, or that they'll do well on their exams, or that they'll get a new job that they're applying for, or that they'll be healed of whatever medical problems that they have. She's asking us to pray for sinners for their conversion, for their repentance, essentially that they'll find God or that they'll turn back to God, that they'll return to the sacraments, that they'll come into full communion with the church, that they'll become on fire with the love of God. Yes, Our Lady also cares about the other struggles and crosses that sinners carry, that we all carry. But what she cares about first and foremost is that they'll become her children, that they'll live in God's grace. So when asking us to pray for others, what is Our Lady doing? She's asking us to imitate her and to imitate her Son, who both live to make intercession for us. It's one bumper sticker I have yet to see on any car, right? A bumper sticker that says, "Pray for me," or "Please pray for me," right? If you want to get a good bumper sticker for your car, that would probably be the best one to have, essentially, right? "Please pray for me," not just because of the way I'm driving, but also because I'm in need of your prayers. If you pray for me, you're performing a work of mercy, so it benefits both of us. benefits me, benefits you too. Pope Francis is wise to say when he asks in his audience, he always asks his audience to pray for him at the end. Sometimes we don't receive a lot of prayers, maybe simply because we're not asking for them. So question the problem people that are in your life. Are you praying for those people? You'd be surprised how many people, even faithful Catholics, don't think to pray for the difficult people in their family and in their life too. If we ask the Lord, why did you put this or that person into my life? Why did you do that? He might respond by saying, well, I was hoping you'd pray for them, right? That's why I put them in your life in the first place, so they'd have someone to pray for them. Lastly, not only are we called to pray for the living, we're also called to pray for the dead, too. In his Confessions, St. Augustine shares the words of his Holy Mother, St. Monica, who before dying told her son, she said this, "Bury this body anywhere. Let its care give you no concern. One thing only do I ask of you, that you remember me at the altar of the Lord, wherever you may be," she says. That means that she was asking for prayers after she had died. Now the doctor of the church, St. John Chrysostom, says, quote, "Let us give help to our dead and commemorate them. If the sons of Job, the Old Testament, were purified by the sacrifice of their father, why should we doubt that our offerings for the dead bring them some consolations? Let's not hesitate to help those who are dead and offer our prayers for them," says St. John Chrysostom. And in the Old Testament, in the Vulgate, we read in 2 Maccabees 12:46, it says, "It's a holy and wholesome thought to pray for the dead, that they may be loosed from their sins." And because Martin Luther decided that to delete essentially 7 books from the Old Testament, including that book of Maccabees, we have 5 centuries of Christians who've totally neglected to pray for those who've passed away. Saint Odilo, a Benedictine abbot of Cluny 1,000 years ago, he was the first to appoint one day every year to be set aside in a special manner to pray for the faithful departed. That was in 998 AD. And the Roman Martyrology says for today's feast, for November 2nd, it says this, quote, "The Church, our pious common mother, after being generous in celebrating with worthy praise the children which have already reached the glory of heaven," meaning yesterday, All Saints' Day, "immediately then focuses on helping with her efficacious prayers raised to Christ all of the souls which still groan in purgatory, so that they may as soon as possible arrive at the delight reserved for the citizens of the heavenly city," says the Roman Martyrology. So today, also thanks to Pope Benedict the 15th, every priest actually has the privilege of being able to celebrate 3 Masses, one for the intention of the Mass, one for the holy souls in purgatory, a 3rd Mass as well for the Holy Father's intentions. That concession was given in 1915, and that's essentially the most powerful way a priest performs this work of mercy, of praying for the souls in purgatory, by offering a Mass for them. So we know that you too can have Masses celebrated for the deceased and also for the living as well. This is again the most efficacious and the most powerful way we can pray for the living and the dead. We can and should also pray the Rosary for those who are living, for those who have passed away. We can even offer any indulgences that we obtain to our Lord and to Our Lady for the holy souls too. And today, if we devoutly visit the cemetery and pray for the faithful departed, which for here is pretty easy at the farm, right? It's literally right down on the hill. You walk 10 feet outside of the door here, you're at the cemetery. We pray for them. It's granted a plenary indulgence to do that anytime between November 1st and November 8th. On the other days, it's a partial indulgence. There's also a partial indulgence simply every time you pray the prayer, "Eternal rest grant to them, O Lord, and that perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace." Every time you pass a cemetery on the road, you should pray that prayer for the souls in that cemetery. So you can become a great friend and a great benefactor for the souls in purgatory just by praying for them and offering indulgences that you gain for them. And remember, the souls in purgatory can't help themselves, but we can help them. And our prayers for them will not only help them, but it will make their prayers on our behalf all the more efficacious as well. So let's ask Our Lady today for the grace to become true intercessors for others, that we would have a heart to pray often and always both for the living and for the dead too. Praise be Jesus and Mary, now and forever.